Hello gamers and welcome to Is This Game Queer? I'm your host Leo and I love video games and overthinking things. In this episode we move past the apocalypse as we answer the question, is my time at Porsche queer? As often is the case, beware of some minor spoilers for the game. My Time at Porsche is a simulation RPG with a focus on crafting and resource gathering. It was published in 2019 by Pathia Games, and it's currently available on PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. For this review, I have played the game on both PC and Switch. The basic idea of Porsche is very simple. You move into the town of Porsche to take over the workshop left by your father. After this, you will take on quests, build structures, and develop both your workshop and the entire town to help the area progress and flourish. While doing this, you can also make friends and perhaps find a romantic partner. First off, the good. The NPCs of Porsche mostly have their own distinct personalities and their lives, which will progress independent of your actions, outside of their relationship with you, of course. This does vary between the characters. Some of them are very simple archetypes, while others have much deeper stories and backgrounds. The idea of helping the town progress comes into the actual gameplay. For example, the quick travel system by a kind of small bus is expanded by you building and setting down new stations and stops for the network. Overall, the best part of Porsche is its sense of progression. You earn basically everything aside from a handful of starting blueprints in your book. Everything has to be learned or discovered or explored. This means that when you do achieve something, you can feel that you have actually accomplished something through your own hard work. While many games feature crafting, Porsche does have some nice upgrades from some of the other games in the same genre. For example, rather than having to buy more inventory space at a shop and plan ahead, you can expand your inventory whenever you need, as long as you have the money for the next part of the inventory. Also, while your inventory is stored in rather small chests, Porsche allows you to automatically sort all your carried items into their respective chests without having to find the right place for everything or ending up with the same item in two different chests. However, you do need to actually hold the right items when building something on the assembly stand, which is a problem if you have no idea where you put your things. Another thing that is a plus for some people, and possibly not for others, is the way you can eventually produce almost everything on your own. There are only a few items that need to be purchased or otherwise acquired from other characters, and as you upgrade your workshop, you can make most things from the raw materials into the final product. Then, they're not so good. Even for its genre, Porsche can get pretty repetitive. You'll be running through the same mines or cutting the same trees day after day after day. And while there are story missions, most of your time will be spent doing small tasks to gain a little bit of money to progress towards your next goal. As for the tasks, it's way too easy to take quests that you can't fulfill yet. Sometimes this is a small annoyance, sometimes it makes things impossible. For example, if you take a quest to deliver some tubs before you have researched the cooking set, you had better hope the bakery sells them before the mission expires, or it will be literally impossible for you to finish the quest. While most story missions do give you the means to complete them, many of the randomized quests will ask for items that you either do not have the plans or blueprints for yet, or that simply require a higher level of equipment than you currently own. You can double-check things in your handbook, but this adds a frustrating other layer of busy work into choosing your next tests. There are also a couple of items that are either unique or very rare, and losing or giving them away may make it impossible to finish the quest, even in the case of some big storyline quests. There is no warning if you're about to gift away something unique, and the game doesn't really stop you from otherwise getting yourself stuck. While the art style is largely a matter of taste, it does have some problems. It's easy for things to get muddled together, and some characters can get buried in the background. For example, every time I go into the research center, I first miss the character of Petra because she blends so well into her work table. Also, most of the cast is very samey. Even without taking into account the almost identical seven brothers, most of the characters are white, often blonde or redheaded, and really don't stand out from each other in their build, aside from a couple of outliers. You can make your own character slightly different, but going beyond the usual range of options in character creations will very easily make your player character look downright weird. The different versions of the game are not exactly equal. Due to some problems with porting and who handles that, the console versions are behind the PC version, missing some fixes and updates at the time of this review. One of these updates is the possibility to prevent a character death, as not all of the deeper stories with the NPCs end well. So, if you get very attached to the characters, be warned that not all of them will stick around. Finally, the queer. You can romance almost any character who is around the player character's age and is not already in a relationship. This even includes some characters that may end up together if you choose to romance someone else. I'm especially happy with the way adopting a child is always an option after marriage, even in opposite-sex couples. Same-sex couples will always adopt, but in opposite-sex couples, the player gets to choose whether they want to have a biological child or adopt. This adoption is viewed very positively in the game and not as a last resort. The character of Merlin also deserves a special mention. She is aromantic, and not only is this specified in the game, though not in that exact word, it's actually the topic of a quest where you have to take Merlin on a date, as a result of which she decides that relationships are not for her, and that's fine. However, as is often the case, there is very little same-sex attraction shown outside the player character and whoever they choose to pursue. There are no actual same-sex couples, and the only real interest in that regard is Antoine's crush on Dr. Q. While this is very clear and not left ambiguous, it can still bother some people as Antoine is a rather stereotypical flamboyant gay character. As such, while there is this degree of representation, it comes across as, well, a stereotypical gay guy stalking and pursuing a man who is probably not interested in him. All in all, my time at Portia is a fine farming crafting simulation game. It doesn't exactly stand out in the genre, except for its focus on workshop and crafting rather than farming. But it can be very satisfying for those who do enjoy that part of the gameplay. However, it does feel like it would have benefited from dropping some of the features that feel rather tacked on, like raising animals, which you can easily ignore and never really miss anything in the game, and focusing more on its strengths. Even so, it is worth a try for fans of the genre, and does offer a rather unique post-apocalyptic feel. As always, thank you for listening to me ramble about my time at Portia.